Chapter 16. The Grange turned out to be a series of clearings cut into a lush forest linked by wide, straight paths. Roberta and Stella led them away from the landed twain along one such path, walled by tall tree trunks, with Jules following behind. Jules said their luggage could be collected later. The day was mild and fresh, the sky blue, the forest scents strong. Dev swung his arms, trying to get over the nauseous after-effects of the journey.
"We could be anywhere," Lee said. "Geographically, I mean."
"This looks like temperate forest," Dev said. "Are those trees some relation to oaks? The leaves are full, like it's summer. So we could still be in the northern hemisphere, but depending on the local climate, on a particular earth, you can get temperate forest bands anywhere from the equator to the poles."
"And of course," Jules added, "this may not be the native flora at all. Perhaps it has all been transplanted. Perhaps you are in some vast fool-the-eye arboretum."
Looking faintly annoyed, Lee said, "We work in space. We know the stars, the planets. We could figure out the latitude from the length of the day, even make a guess at longitude if we saw something like a lunar eclipse."
"But what good would it do you? Even if you knew the geographical location, you would have no idea where you were stepwise."
"We are not natural steppers," Dev said. Neither of them had been allowed to bring a Lindsay stepper box. "What if we were? Or what if we had our boxes and tried to step away? What then?"
Jules shrugged.
"To either side, the stepwise worlds are much less hospitable than this. In a thick band, even a twain couldn't get through. The only way in or out of here is by soft places, believe me."
Lee said, "Then you're imprisoned, just as we are."
"So what? I trust the next. They know what's best for mankind and for me."
Lee recoiled from him visibly. They came at last to a larger clearing, dominated by a series of big conical buildings with trampled, dusty ground between. Roberta and Stella, looking out of place in the sober jackets and slacks they'd worn for the journey, wordlessly led them across the open ground towards the largest of the houses. Each building seemed to be thatch plaited over a frame of long, straight tree trunks with heaped-up stone as a low perimeter wall, Dev saw as they passed. There was a central hearth, and smoke seeped out of the thatch of some of the houses. Dev was surprised how basic it looked, how primitive. It might have been a scene from Iron Age Europe. Yet here and there were glimpses of higher tech, metal glinting in the fabric of the houses. A few adults gathered in knots, talking, all dressed much as Jules was. Dev was starting to think of it as naked with pockets. And children ran around, some of them more or less bare, others dressed in cut-down versions of the adult garments. As they passed, Dev caught snatches of speech. Not English, though he recognized a few English terms embedded in there. This was quick talk, a rattling high-speed gabble quite beyond his comprehension. The most baffling thing for Dev was the way three or four would gather and all talk at once, evidently capable of listening to one stream of words while uttering another. He could almost see the information being poured from one mind to another in parallel high-speed channels. A few people nodded to Roberta and Stella as they passed, but none even glanced at Dev and Lee. Or indeed, Jules, Dev observed. He murmured to Lee, "They aren't noticing us any more than you'd acknowledge a dog on a lead. Down, Fido." The house they were led to was empty of people. The space inside was open. There were no interior walls, though what looked like partition panels were stacked up in a heap opposite the door. Shady corners were lit by freestanding cylindrical lamps, apparently electrical. There was some furniture, low bunks, couches, what looked like a galley area, equipped with shining boxes of metal and ceramic. A doorway led to a bathroom. Jules went bustling off to the galley. Roberta and Stella sat on a couch, took a breath, and gabbled quick talk for half a minute. Then they turned to Dev and Lee, who stood uncomfortably in the doorway.
"I'm sorry," said Roberta. "Come in, sit down. We try to avoid quick talk when we're in the human worlds.
It's such a relief to get back and to be able to express oneself properly. This building has other purposes, but it's the nearest we have to a guest house. She pointed. You can fix up individual cabins with those partitions. You'll probably need privacy. Lee frowned. The implication being that you don't need privacy.
Jules called over. They're more civilized than we are, Lee, remember? They don't need to avoid each other as much as we do.
Roberta went on. We'll have your luggage brought in. What else? Jules can show you how to use the galley. We generally eat fresh produce from the forest, but you may find it easier to use the food printer units. Dev frowned.
Food printer?
Stella said, like your own matter printers, but rather more sophisticated, and based to some extent on silver beetle technology. You know something about that. It's voice-activated. You can ask for a wide variety of foodstuffs.
Replicators, Dev said. They've got replicators.
He stepped forward to inspect the nondescript ceramic boxes. He could see no power connection. Maybe there was some kind of energy beam technology, invisible transmission. Roberta said, with such devices, we have made a major step towards a true post-scarcity society. Hunger banished without labor, forever.
Dev couldn't resist it.
Can it give me Earl Grey tea?
Lee grinned.
Hot!
The two of them stayed in their guest house that evening. That was basically on Jules's advice. They should keep themselves to themselves and keep away from next children in particular, he said. Even now, a quarter century after the establishment of the Grange, many of the adults here had grown up in the human worlds and knew how to deal with regular people, respectfully or otherwise. But the kids born in the Grange were different. To them, humans were just exotic animals. Jules had grinned nervously.
They aren't always kind. Actually, some necks believe it's good for their children to be raised among humans, because you exert a selection pressure. The truly smart, having discovered they are cleverer than the people around them, soon learn that the smartest thing of all for them to do is to prevent said people from ever finding this out. Roberta said she had a teacher who told her that she should have "Nobody Likes a Smart Aleck" tattooed to her forehead in reverse, so she could be reminded of it every morning in the bathroom mirror.
They erected a few partitions and assembled their cot beds.
So, Dev said tentatively, you want we should push these beds together?
Lee glanced around at the partitions. I can't see any lenses poking through the walls, but I doubt if our privacy has any real meaning for them, any more than we'd think about a right to privacy for a hamster in a cage. If they thought it was useful or instructive, would they have any ethical qualms about observing the mating habits of this particular species of chimp?
You can get your thrills some other way, assholes.
She raised her middle finger.
Quick talk, that!